16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Praise God. How many are thankful for a foundation that's been laid? Praise God. There's not another foundation. There's only one foundation. There's not another message. There's only one message. But this is an interesting phrase at the end of this particular passage. If you read in other translations, that last phrase is very interesting. The NIV says it like this. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion. A tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. And the one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. The English Standard says it this way. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem. It is a firm and tested stone. It's a precious cornerstone that is safe to build upon. Whoever believes need never be shaken. He said, if you build on this foundation, you're never going to be stricken with panic. And if you build on this foundation, you never need to be shaken. Because before all of this stuff is wrapped up, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The church is going to go through difficult times. The church is going to go through adversarial winds. The church, we're going to experience what the preacher talked about today. Time and chance happen to us all. But there is a foundation that if you build your life on that foundation, no matter what kind of wind blows in your life, I'm telling you, you may go down to the graveyard. You may experience great loss. You may experience difficult circumstance. But if your life is built on the foundation of the Word of God, you don't have any reason to panic. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what pandemic arises. It doesn't matter what adversity comes against the church. The church is built upon a rock. The church is built upon a sure foundation. The church is built on something that has stood the test of time. I don't care how much pain you have in your heart today. I don't care how much depression and loneliness you feel. If you build your life on the Word of God, if you build your life on what's being preached about today, you can rise up above any circumstance. You can rise up above any depression. You can rise up above any anxiety. I'm telling you, God has sent me here to preach to somebody today and tell you there is a foundation that you don't have to embrace the pathology of the world. There's a way to live your life that will cause your life to transcend the trouble. Praise God. There is a sure foundation. Praise God. Everything's going to be shaken, but whoever is careful to build upon this foundation will never be shaken, will never be stricken with panic, will never be moved. He's going to be like a man, a woman who built their house upon a rock. And the winds blew and the storms came, but his house was able to stand. And that is what I want to talk to us about today. I want to talk about a way to live your life and to build your life. I want to talk about a doctrine and a way to live, a way to believe, so that you can have a reality that as we get closer to the end of all things, that your life will be established and your life will be fixed and it will be in a sure place. There are some fundamental doctrines that we believe without fail, and I want to talk about some of those things today. Admittedly, there are some things that don't matter much. People like to talk about eschatology. They like to talk about things that are ancillary, and I don't mean that prophecy is not important. But I do want to mention the fact that there are some things in Scripture that we cannot see clearly. There are some people that are pre-trib and post-trib and mid-trib, and they want to talk about the specific day and hour that Jesus is going to return. Well, the Bible says we don't know the day, and nobody knows the hour. And so I just want to tell you today that our church is post-trib, and I believe in that. But Let me just tell you that God can come back whenever he wants to come back. And we see through a glass darkly. I just want to focus on the fact that he's coming back. And I want to be ready when he does come back. Praise God. I'm just telling you, there's a generation rising up that doesn't want to argue about petty theology. I just want to be ready when God comes back. I want to be ready when the trumpet sounds. Listen, he can come back whenever he wants to come back. But when he comes, I want my life and my home and my family to be ready. Praise God. People argue about the gap theory. Genesis 1 and 1, Genesis 1 and 2, that between those two verses, that Satan fell from heaven and it caused chaos and void. They talk about the sons of God and the daughters of men and all of these theological questions that people have. And I want to tell you that those types of things can be a distraction, because there are some things that the Bible says that we know definitively. There are some structures that we have to have in place that they are, when you understand them and when you have them in place, they are definitive and they are absolute and they are irrefutable. First of all, there is a source that outlines the essence of God's plan for humanity, for creation, and for the universe. Everything came out of this source. There is a structure that is in place in the kingdom of God that is absolutely irrefutable, that has authority, it has power, it has veracity, and that is the Word of God. How many of you are thankful today for the Word of God? How many of you are thankful today for something that is never moving, that is always there, that is always consistent and faithful? It is the book above all books. It is the source out of which everything emerged. It tells of the faith that was once delivered to the church. There is no council that emerged after the Word of God was established. No Council of Nicaea in the 300s that received a more progressive doctrine. There's no later prophet like Muhammad in the 600s who received a more enlightened revelation. There is no Reformation father who came in the 1600s who received a more advanced theology. No Johnny come lately like Joseph Smith in the 1800s who has a more penetrating insight. If you exegete the passages in the Word of God, if you have an accurate hermeneutical process, you will understand some things. You will arrive at some conclusions that rattle the cages of every denominational opinion. It will outlive every political structure. It will get the attention of every Nero and Herod and Pharaoh and Caesar. The doctrines of this book have the power to transform a man or woman. The doctrines of this book have the power to transform a family or community or nation and even the world. This book has power to turn a life around. This book has power to stop the forces of addiction in somebody's life. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to push back against the darkness of depression. It has the power to push back against the forces of anxiety. This book is going to outlive every critic. It's going to outlive every nation. It's going to outlive every denominational institution. The church is built on the rock of the Word of God. And because of that, the church is predestined to win. To win. The church is built on the Word of God. And because of that, no weapon formed against her is going to prosper. I'm thankful today to be in the church. I'm thankful today to be built upon the Word of God. When the disciples started to rally around the Word of God, when they started to orient their life, their occupations, their families around the man Christ Jesus, who was the expressed Word of God. When they went out after 3 years of development with Jesus and he laid hands on them and they went out to preach the gospel and they went out to do the work of ministry. When the Jewish leaders and when the Romans begin to observe them, when they begin to critique them and break down their lives and analyze them and then punish them, they said, these are they who have turned their world upside down. When you begin to orient your life around the Word of God, it turns everything upside down. It takes brokenness and begins to put the peace. It can take a broken life. It can take broken dreams and hopes. And it can begin to turn that world upside down. They looked at these men and they said, I know that they're common fishermen. And I know that they are uneducated and unlearned men. But they are speaking in a way that has transformative power. I'm telling you, when you build your life on the Word of God, some things will begin to happen in your life that will make your life not shake. Not able to be rattled. Praise God. These are they that have turned their world upside down. This book has the most powerful set of ideals in the physical world. It has the power to put marriages back together. It has the power to deliver the meth addict, the pill pusher, the person locked up in perversion. It has the power to set the demoniac free. Jesus told them, my words are spirit and they are life. We live in a world that is full of sinking and shifting sand. We live in a physical world. We talked about it in our theology class this morning, but we live in a physical world where there are no absolutes. Everything is moving. Everything is shifting. Everything is changing. And we are creatures that seek homeostasis. We're seeking permanence. We're seeking to know. That's what the scientist is looking for today. He's seeking for objective reality. The problem is when he's looking under the microscope, he realizes that the particles are moving and everything's changing and the observer has a say in the outcome. And so they're realizing that at the very foundation of the physical world, everything is mercurial and everything is fluid. And one of the things that is doing to the scientific community is it is creating confusion. There are scientists who say, I wish that I hadn't learned that about the physical world. I wish that I didn't know that. They're calling some of the matter the God matter because there's a component to it that just it defies rationality. But I want to tell you today that the only permanence that comes into the physical world and gives us an unshakable confidence is a reality that comes to us from above. There is a reality that is forever settled. There is a reality that is fixed and final, but that reality comes to us by the Spirit and the Word of God. And I just want to tell you today, you need to orient your life today one more time around the truths of the Word of God. You need to come today and say, God, I want you to do the work in my life. I want you to, anybody looking for peace that passes all understanding, I'm telling you that peace cannot be found on a horizontal plane, but it can be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. There's a push globally for atheism and agnosticism and secularism and postmodernism. The spirit of Antichrist is at work already, but it's at work today more than at any time in human history because we are approaching the end of time. And even in Western thought, which the United States is a product of that kind of thinking, there is an attempt, even in Western culture, to reduce the conversation about God and the Bible to a neutered and practical discussion. And I'm not seeking to upset anybody's apple cart here today, but even people that we celebrate in Western culture, we celebrate Jordan Peterson and some of these writers, some of these thinkers, Gladwell, who wrote the book David and Goliath. Interesting men and interesting perspectives on a dimensional level. But even those conversations that neuter the word, that take away from the Bible the supernatural and the metaphysical component of what it's presenting to us. Those conversations reduce the discussion to a level that makes God rational, and that makes God explainable, and that makes God someone that looks like something that we can relate to and we can understand with our natural mind. It presents a God that is like us, that can be explained. We can rationalize how David killed Goliath. We can rationalize how the waters of the Red Sea were parted. And I can have the conversation on the level that these men are talking, and we can talk about it in a dimensional explanation. But there is a component of this book that does not come to us on a horizontal plane. It comes to us from a perspective that is eternal and divine, and God is not a man. God exists and in the eternal. And I appreciate their attempts, and I would like to discuss those things in a particular place with you. But you have to be careful today that while we have the conversation on a rational level and on a philosophical level and on a scientific level, that we understand that God is beyond our understanding. That while he may choose to manifest himself to us through time and dispensation, because he seeks a relationship with his creation, we cannot allow our definitions of him to de-infinitize him to the point that we lose the faith that is necessary to believe in the supernatural and to. There is still a miracle to what we preach. I said there's. David didn't just kill Goliath because he was well trained. David killed Goliath because God was involved in the process. The children of Israel didn't march through the waters of the Red Sea just because they had a good idea. They did it because God made a path through the water. Praise God. When you see him, he will always be high and lifted up. David said, the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. If you're going to get to the throne of God, you're going to have to get through the veil. And the deal about the veil is, I don't know how the high priest got from the inner courts into the Holy of Holies. It was a supernatural process. But to get from point A to point B, it's not going to be a linear path. It's still going to require that something divine and supernatural happen, because God is not like us. God is not a physical man. When you see him, if you're going to get to his throne, you're going to have to pierce the horizon. You're going to have to get through the veil of the flesh. Something spiritual and supernatural is going to have to happen to get us to a place like that, because his ways are higher than our ways, even as the heavens are above the earth and his thoughts than our thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than ours, but this is not just like higher in terms of one person can jump higher than the other person, but it says his ways are higher than our ways, like the heavens are above the earth. What that means is that's not just higher spatially, but that is higher dimensionally. That means that God is above us in every way. And in order to get from here to there, I have to have a spiritual experience. You're not going to get this by cognition alone. You're not going to get this by learning alone. But at some point, something supernatural has to penetrate the veil and pierce. And come down into where we're living so that something transformative can happen on the end. I'm telling you, if you're here today and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you there's more to it than just a cognitive experience. It's more than some rational teaching in a Baptist or Methodist church. But you've got to get to a place where the Spirit of God can penetrate down on the inside of you. And when you receive that Spirit, you're going to begin to speak in a heavenly language.
language. You're going to begin to speak in another tongue. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Praise God. That's the faith that was once delivered. Praise God. Everything in the physical world changes. People change and families change. And everything's moving progressively through this process of change. The only constant is change. But we don't serve a God whose existence is bound to the physical world. He lives outside of time. Time exists in him. The physical world exists within him. So we serve a God that does not change. Psalms 90:2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The reason you're not consumed is because God doesn't change. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he doesn't faint, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Psalms 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and he shall not make it good? James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift comes from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. I'm here to tell you, the reason that we have permanence today, the reason that we have peace today, is not because we are good, but it's because we're connected to a God who knows the end from the beginning. He's a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so I have peace in a storm, not because I am good and not because I am strong. Because I'm like every other man. I am vulnerable, and I am weak, and I am fragile, and I am existential. And I'm not projecting strength to you today. As a matter of fact, I'm projecting weakness to you. Because it is in my weakness that he is made strong. And you can't stand in your own strength and project your own strength, but as you stand in a position of vulnerability to God, as you come to God with all of your problems and all of your hiccups and all of your warts and all of your issues, you're coming to him and you're opening your heart today and you're saying, my life is broken, my family's broken, I've made mistakes, I haven't been able to get it right. As you come to him today with that level of vulnerability and you expose yourself to him, then your life is open before him with whom you have to do. And in that moment, when you have that level of vulnerability to God and you open yourself up to him, it is in that moment that you are positioned to have a transcendent experience. It is in that moment where you are positioned for strength. Praise God. Praise God. Is an extension of the identity of God. The Word of God meets the same criteria. In the beginning, before man was, before anything was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before anything else was that is, the Word was there. It was unmoving, unchanging, not being affected by an outside source. Praise God. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It is upon that God identity, it is upon that word that we begin to erect the church that he purchased with his own blood, the church that he bought with a price. And as we begin to establish the church on those things, then the church begins to connect itself beyond what the university can do, because the university can take you to truth on a particular level. It can take you to mathematical truth, and it can take you to philosophical truth. truth, and it can take you to the truth of science and other and reason. But when you begin to connect the church to the bedrock of existence, when you connect the church to the spirit and ground of truth, you are reaching down further than the university can reach. Or maybe you could say you're reaching higher up than the university can reach. And now the church is standing in a place that no amount of persecution can kill. I'm telling you, in that moment, the church becomes an indomitable force in its world. No sword can kill it. No spear can take it out. No persecution. I'm telling you, this is the church that we are built upon. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And it is that foundation that I'm preaching to you about today. It's a forever settled foundation. Anybody thankful to be standing on a rock? Anybody thankful to be standing in a firm place, in a fixed place, in an established place? Praise God. He said, you've got to earnestly contend for the faith, because there will be people that creep in. There will be spirits that come in and seek to subvert the plan and the purpose of God. This is the center that holds. This is a nail in a sure place. We're living in a world, gender confusion, gender dysphoria. People don't know who they are. Moms and dads are getting concerned because it's creeping into their homes and into their families, and wickedness and sin are getting worse and worse. And while the fabric of society is unraveling, there is a fixed reality that begins with God and his word and his church that is fixed and solid and firm and founded and established and settled forever. Praise God. I have never been more confident in all of my life than what I'm preaching about to you today. I've never been more settled in my mind and in my spirit about the doctrine that has been presented to us, about the faith that has been presented to us. I've never been more infatuated with and in love with and endeared to this book than I am at this season of my life. It is a precious gospel. I am thankful today for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you today, I feel indebted to this book. I feel indebted to this way. I feel indebted to this gospel. Praise God. Praise God. This generation needs an encounter with the church of the living God that is built upon the rock. Your family, your community needs a relationship with the Word of God. They need a relationship with a church that is earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered. It didn't come later. It didn't come through the intellect of men. It didn't come through natural reason, but it came by the Spirit of God, and it was preserved by the apostles, and they fought for it, and they bled for it, and they died for it. And I'm thankful today because I have an encounter and a relationship on a regular basis with the Word of God and the church of the living God. I'm thankful to be in a place where God's Spirit moves, because the moving of God's Spirit is a fundamental doctrine of the church. I'm thankful to be in a place where people still believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. I'm thankful to be in a place where people believe in the compounded effects of oneness, not just the fact that God is one, but that when the people of God are one, one can set 1,000 to flight, and two can set 10,000 to flight. I believe that God is numerically one, but I'm thankful to be in a place where people are in one mind and in one accord. And when we get together and two agree touching anything, I'm here to tell you anything is possible. God can raise the dead today. God can unstop deaf ears today. God can fill somebody with his spirit today. God can set somebody free from pornographic addiction today. God can set somebody free from any type of drug abuse today. God can set somebody free from anger problems today. God can set somebody free from lust and greed today. Praise God. Praise God. I'm thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God. Brother Sam, come. Thankful to believe the message that the church was born in Acts chapter 2. I'm thankful for Acts chapter 1. I'm thankful that the church congregated around the word from Jesus. And they came together and they were in one mind and in one accord. I'm thankful to believe that, to know that today. To know that that's a fixed reality, that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost wasn't just for the first century church. I'm thankful that when Peter stood up to preach on the day of Pentecost, he said, you got to repent and you've got to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I'm also thankful for the next verse where he said, this promise is unto you, and it's for your children, and it's for your children's children. And it's for all those that are afar off. I'm thankful for a message that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more so as you see the day approaching. We believe in the new birth experience. We believe that Jesus died. We believe that he was buried. We believe that he was resurrected again. And we believe that you can receive that experience today. And I'm also thankful that the Bible says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Because there's a group of people today that'll tell you, there's nothing you can do to be saved. But the Apostle Peter said, if you want to be saved, you got to get up and save yourself. There's something you got to do to be saved. Well, I've got five people that believe that. I'm thankful to be in a church that still believes there's something you can do to be saved. You got to come down to the altar. You've got to lift up your hands. And you've got to pray a prayer that says, God, I am a sinner. I need salvation. I need grace. I need help. I'm glad to be in a place where people still believe in holiness. I'm glad to be in a church where people still preach that it matters what you do and it matters where you go and it matters how you live. Because the Word of God says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man's going to see the Lord. Throughout the canon of Scripture, the Bible talked about holiness. It talked about it in Leviticus 21 and 8, Exodus 19 and 6, 1 Peter 1 and 16, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Praise God. Praise God. I'm thankful to be in a place today where we do not believe that all paths lead to the same God. Because the spirit of ecumenicalism has crept into the church and has convinced people that you can be a part of any path, that you can join a Jordan Peterson club, or you can join a small group at Church of the Highlands and be a part of the kingdom of God. You can just come any old way you want. You can come through Buddha because he's taken us to God. And come through Krishna because he's taken us to God. And come through Muhammad because he's taken us to God. No, no, no. I'm thankful to be in a place where the word of God is still venerated. Where we believe that there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. I'm thankful to be in a place where the word of God is still preached. Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. And if you build your life on the rock, See, the deal is a lot of times people pay lip service to this, but they hadn't really built it that way. A lot of times people get the Holy Ghost and their Holy Ghost runs out their boot heel. And they're not living full of the Holy Ghost. And so when trouble comes, that's how we know. The Bible says that every man's work is going to be tried. It's going to be tested. My work, your work, it's going to be tried by fire. And it's going to be revealed by fire. And the deal is, Josh, is the winds of life are going to blow on us. Adversity, people are going to talk about us. They're going to misunderstand us. They're going to stab us in the back. They're going to, you know what I'm saying? Things are going to happen. Life happens. Circumstance happens. And when I'm in a bad circumstance, when my heart is condemned, when I make mistakes, when I fail, when I fall short of the glory of God, it's in moments like that, as I watch my own response, that I begin to figure out what my life is tethered to. When I go through difficulty, when I go down to the graveyard, when I go to the funeral that Brother Kadarius was talking about, when I grieve, when I suffer loss, it's in moments like that that I figure out, Brother Kedrick, whether the center that I'm fastened to is gonna hold. It's like a ship that's got an anchor down in the middle of the ocean, but it's not touching anything substantial. So the winds blow and they buffet the ship, and the ship is broken to pieces. But when you really have your life fastened to the kingdom of God, you get to figure out, Sister Pam, when you get the diagnosis, whether or not you're... You get to figure out whether or not you're fastened to something that's going to hold. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's no life like living for God. You got to get your money. You got to get your money interwoven with the kingdom. I'm thankful to be in a place where people still believe in tithing and offering. Praise God. Tithing and offering is for your benefit. Tithing and offering is for your benefit. I know there are a lot of crooked people and preachers out there, but this is not self-serving, friend. This is the gospel. This is not for my benefit. This is for your benefit. Because if you don't fasten your money to the kingdom, it's going to be a bag with a hole in it. If you don't fasten your marriage to the kingdom, the first time some cute girl walks past at work, that's how you know what your life is fastened to. Today is another opportunity to secure my life to an anchor that's going to hold no matter what's happening in my world. Today is another opportunity to connect with a God who is not bound to time, who stands outside of time. And all of this, in Him we move. We're moving in Him. I know you feel like God is spatially disconnected, but no, you're really, when you're moving in Him. I know you feel like God doesn't know how many breaths you're taking but when you get short of breath, but you're breathing in Him. I know you feel like God doesn't even know where you are, but you have your being in Him. God is not just there right now. God is surrounding you, and God is encompassing your life. I don't care what the diagnosis is. I don't care what the pathology is. He's right there. And He said, I'm one. There's nobody like me. There's none beside me. He said, I looked for another. Who, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? And all of the searching of humanity to try to find something to fix the problem. There's a place that you can live and build your life that is unmovable and unshakable. That's the rock. That's the stone that the builders rejected. But he's become the head of the corner. Praise God. Let's stand. If you're in this place today and you need God to do a miracle in your life, the power, the miraculous power of the word is here right now. And I want to open up these altars. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you've never received the Spirit of God, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, I want to open up this altar to you. The miraculous power of God to transform a life is here right now. If you've been disconnected for a while and you just want to draw closer to Him today and fasten your life to God, this altar is open for you. If you want to come down with your family and secure the precious things in your life back to God one more time, this altar is open. Come on, church, help me right now. If you're standing next to somebody that needs prayer, why don't you be a conduit for the Spirit of God? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Press your way into that prayer right now. Let the Spirit of God flow through you like a conduit. There's healing in this place today. There's deliverance in this place today.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We live.
Come on, that's it. The presence of God is moving, healing all over the house right now. The Spirit of God, that's the Word working. Let the Word work on the inside right now. Let it heal the broken places. Let it mend the heart right now in the name of Jesus. Is taking place right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody press in right now. The Holy Ghost is doing a work.
Perfect in all of your ways.
Lord, you are perfect.
Come on, that's it. The Word's working right now. I said the Word is working right now.
We worship you.
Praise the Lord. If you're thankful for the word of God today, why don't you give God a hand clap of praise? Praise God. If you're praying, keep praying. We're going to reconvene tonight for prayer at 6 o'clock, for an apostolic service at 6:30. Before you leave, love somebody. Share your strength and joy with them. God bless you in Jesus' name.